Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name.
Here I am, and here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed.
Here I stand, Lord.
Here I stand. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see,
my desires.
I give myself away. I give myself away. Slowly.
Make up your prayer to the Lord tonight. Tell him,
I give myself away.
Fix your eyes on the Lord and lift up the song in prayer to the Lord.
Take my life
as a living sacrifice. Tell him I give myself away.
So you can
surrender yourself to him and tell him,
away.
I give myself away. Oh, yes, I do.
I give myself away. So you.
My life is not my own.
To you I belong.
I give myself to you.
My life is not my own.
To you I belong. That's why I give myself away.
My life is not my own.
To you
I belong, oh Lord. I give myself.
Life is not my own.
To you I belong.
I give myself
to you.
I give myself.
myself, I give myself, I give myself to you. Take me, Jesus, Lord, I give myself, I give myself to you. I belong to you, I give myself, I give myself to you. We belong to you, Jesus, for you bought us with a price. Our lives are not our own, and all that we are, all that we ever hope to be, all our dreams, all our plans, all our aspirations are connected to you. And here we are tonight again in your presence for another experience of the times of impartation. We come because we want to be imparted. We come because we want to feel a touch from you. We come because we want to hear things that will transform us, change the way we think, help us to focus properly, and to press on to accomplish your purposes for our lives. I pray in the name of Jesus that tonight as we hear your word, your Holy Spirit will prepare our spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus, may there not be any hindrance to your word tonight. Flow amongst us and have free course amongst us. In Jesus' mighty name, I commit myself into your hands. Anoint me and use me for your glory and your honor. May I seek to please you and only you, and not seek to persuade men. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, God bless you, and you may be seated. And you're welcome to our times of impartation. Thank you for taking time to be here. The theme for us this year as a church is rooted in Christ, reproducing for Christ. And during the first part of the year, I spent 5 weeks, I believe, teaching on the first part of the theme, rooted in Christ. But you are also aware that we've declared this month of March as a month of outreach and fruitfulness. And I think that it is greatly connected to the second part of our theme. What I therefore want to do throughout this month is to share with you during the times of impartation on the broad subject, reproducing for Christ. Is that all right with you? All right, oh. And so I'm going to be talking about reproducing for Christ, and we're going to look at different aspects and different dimensions of it. Praise the name of Jesus. And the subheading for today's teaching is the call to reproduce. So reproducing for Christ, the call to reproduce. The call to reproduce. Reproducing for Christ, the call to reproduce. Please turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28, and let's read from verse number 18 from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. If you do not know this scripture as a believer, it tells me that your level of commitment to the Christian faith is not very strong, or you just came into the faith. I mean, if you've been around for some time and you've been walking with the Lord for some years, you should know the scripture, because it summarizes what believers across different denominations call the Great Commission. you will not find that expression, the Great Commission, anywhere in the Bible. But it is the church leaders and church elders who have summarized this portion of the Bible and labeled it the Great Commission, because they believe, and I believe it also, that it is a commission from Christ to us, and it is a great commission because of the one from whom it is proceeding. And in verse 18 of Matthew 28, the Bible says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. Therefore, what must you do? Can you tell me? Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, that phrase, to reproduce, simply means to produce again, to multiply, or create something similar to the original. To reproduce means to produce again, to multiply, or to create something similar to the original. That is the general definition, you know, of what it means to reproduce. But I want to say that when it comes to ministry, or when we are looking at the topic to reproduce from a spiritual context, to reproduce means to multiply disciples or raise others who will continue the work of Christ. To reproduce means to multiply disciples or raise others who will continue the work of Christ. That is what it means to reproduce from a ministry or a spiritual context. So, examples that I can give you is where you have a believer who reproduces spiritually by leading others to Christ and discipling them. So when a believer, when a child of God does that, when he leads somebody to Christ and disciples the person, then what he's doing is reproducing, and it's a spiritual experience. Amen. I said amen. Right. Then, from a spiritual and ministry context, we can talk about to reproduce from the perspective of a church reproducing when it plants new churches or when it raises new leaders. So all of that is a dimension of reproduction. Hallelujah. Now, in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, what we see there essentially is a command to reproduce. It is a command to reproduce. Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, revealed himself to the believers at the time, at different instances and on different occasions. And when it was getting close for him to ascend back to heaven from whence he came, he gathered the disciples one more time and he gave them a command. Hallelujah. May I suggest to you that it was not a suggestion that he gave to them. It was not a plea. It was not an appeal. It was an instruction. It was a command. And it was not a command issued for pastors alone, or for evangelists, or for apostles, prophets, teachers. It is not a command that was issued to only people who are seen as spiritually mature. That's not what it is. It is actually a command and an instruction to every believer and to every child of God. If you are born again, if you are a child of God, if indeed you've received Jesus as Lord and Savior, let it be known unto you that it makes you a disciple. Because the moment you give your heart to Jesus and receive Him as Lord and Savior, you have become His disciple. And you begin a lifelong journey of discipleship, which does not end. It's a perpetual experience. It only ends for you when you exit this life or when you leave this earth. But from the very second that you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you pray the sinner's prayer and you said amen, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God had raised Him from the dead, you became born again and you instantly became a disciple of the Lord Jesus. This so-called Great Commission, I want to make it very clear to you, everyone listening to me this evening, that it is a command, not just reserved for pastors and ministers of the gospel, but it is a command and an instruction to every believer, to every Christian. And actually, to be a Christian in its strictest sense is to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have watered down that expression Christian. And when people are filling forms and it is inquired of them, what is your religion? They take Christian or Muslim or traditionalist or atheist. What other option is there? These are basically the different things that people take. And a lot of people will just take Christian, because to them, I was born into a Christian family, so that makes me a Christian. And I go to church, so that makes me a Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more to Christianity than that. And to be a Christian is actually to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm emphasizing again, and I'm saying it again and again, for it to sink deep into your heart and into your spirit, that command that Jesus gave in Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20 is a command that applies to you if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you are His follower, and if you are a Christian. And tonight I want to make a few things clear to you. And I want to help you to understand that you have actually been given a call to reproduce. Because the Great Commission and that instruction to go and make disciples of all the nations of the earth is a call to reproduce. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to draw your attention to is that from the very beginning, God designed that every living thing should reproduce. Amen. From the very beginning, God designed that every living thing should reproduce. You must understand that. And when I talk about the very beginning, I'm talking about when God created the universe. It was His design that everything that He created that was a living thing should reproduce. Let's look at day two of creation. What happened? Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 to 12. Genesis 1, 9 to 12. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. Next verse. God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. 11. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit." Then the next thing that he said was that these seeds will then do what? The seeds will do what? They will produce. They will produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And this is what happened. Verse 12. The land produced, you can see production again. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. And their seeds did what? Produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. So here we see production or reproduction with respect to plants and trees and vegetation that God designed that they will produce or reproduce. Can I take you to day 5 of creation and what happened there? Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 to 23. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So on this day of creation, God created all the different life forms in the sea, in water bodies, and also created all the birds. Every type of bird that flies up above. This is what he did on day 5. Next verse. So, verse 21. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird. Can you read the next sentence with me? Ready, go. Each producing offspring of the same kind. Reproduction. And God saw that it was good. Verse 22. Then God blessed them, saying, what did he say to them? Be fruitful and multiply. Other words, reproduce. Reproduce. Let the fish fill the seas. And how are they going to fill the seas? Through reproduction. And let the birds multiply on the earth. Hallelujah. Verse 23. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. So on this day, the different creatures or birds that fly, that have the ability to fly, were created. And so were all the living things you find in water bodies. But after creating all of them, God gave a command and an instruction to reproduce. And for special emphasis, he blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." So you can see here that God's design for these living forms and living things was reproduction. to reproduce. Then I take you to day six, which was the last working day, because on the seventh day was the Sabbath and God rested. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 to 28. And remember that I'm sharing with you about reproducing for Christ, the call to reproduce. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 to 28, then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each doing what? Producing offspring of the same kind." So God produced them, or created them, called them forth, and then gave an instruction to reproduce. Livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then now comes the masterpiece of God's creation. That is humanity. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So man was supposed to be the ogboro. He was supposed to have control and dominion over all the other living things. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then this is what happened. Then God blessed them and said, "Do what? Be fruitful and multiply." And again, it means do what? Reproduce. Because remember that I gave you a definition of what it means to reproduce as to create something similar to the original. To produce again or to multiply. So God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it." He created Adam and Eve and told them to fill the earth. How were they going to do that? By reproduction. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Hallelujah. So now the picture that we see here, ladies and gentlemen, is a picture of every living thing that God created was instructed and blessed to reproduce. Trees were supposed to produce fruits, and in the fruits are seeds that are supposed to produce other trees that are supposed to produce fruits. So it becomes a cycle of reproduction. Animals were commanded and instructed to produce offspring. And it will interest you to know that even the cells of our bodies are under a divine instruction to reproduce. The cells in your body keep dividing all the time and multiplying. And it is happening because we are under that divine design and mandate and instruction to reproduce. Notice that this instruction to reproduce, it came before sin entered the world. And it also came before corruption took its hold on God's creation. That means that reproduction is one of the untainted, of the pure instructions and designs of God that was there before sin entered the world. Hallelujah. There were other instructions that God gave. Another instruction that God gave before sin entered was the instruction that Adam and Eve should not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's another instruction. Every other instruction and command or law or ordinance or statute that God gave came after the fall of man. But this instruction to reproduce and multiply was before the fall of man. And it's something significant enough to behold. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that really have to do with you and I? And this is the link and this is the connection. You and I have been created anew in Christ Jesus. And from the scriptures that I read, you will notice that every living thing or being that God created was given an instruction to reproduce. So if you and I have been created anew in Christ Jesus, because the Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We are his workmanship. So you are a new creation. And if every living thing that God created was instructed to reproduce, it should be logical and it should make sense to you and I that even as spiritual beings, God's expectation of us is to reproduce. And the confirmation of it is the Great Commission, where Jesus said it clearly, that go and make disciples of all the nations of the earth. So after you get born again, God is expecting you to reproduce. Amen. Which means, therefore, that any move or drive or program by the church towards outreach and fruitfulness is not just a church program. It is actually God's instruction, God's nature, and God's arrangement. And this is where a lot of Christians miss it. This is where a lot of churchgoers miss it. They think and feel that they have the luxury to either partake or decline the instruction to do outreach, to do evangelism, to invite people to church, to follow up people and to disciple others. They think that they have the luxury to either accept it or refuse it, because in their minds it is an instruction that is coming from the pastor of the church, and he can't do us thing if we don't obey that instruction. How foolish of you to think that way. It is not my instruction that this month should be a month of outreach and fruitfulness. It is an instruction from God. And every program drawn up for this month, or for any other month for that matter, that is aimed at reproducing, winning souls, evangelizing and making disciples, it's not my instruction. It's not my work. It's not my arrangement. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. That's not what I'm trying to do. I am not trying to fill this church for myself. everything that I lead us to do that is aimed at reproducing other Christians is a mandate, is an instruction, and is a directive from God. And you will notice that a lot of my teaching in this church, a lot of my sermons in this church, are aimed at getting us to flow with God's design and God's purposes for our lives. I want us to be blessed here on earth. I want us to have beautiful, flourishing lives, enjoying the fine things of this life. I want you to marry. I want you to have children. I want you to own your own house. I want you to drive your own car. I want you to be able to travel across the world. I want your dreams to be fulfilled. A few days ago, I got a call from one of our members, one of the young men in church, that he has landed in Italy. Now, this is somebody, when you look at him moving here, you will never imagine that such a door and such an opportunity can come his way. But as I speak to you now, he's there, and I'm happy for him. And he's not there as a hustler. He's there because he signed on to a program. He was trained on certain things, and he's there. A job has been provided, accommodation, everything. He's not a stowaway or stowaway. That's not what he is. He's there legitimately, and it fills my heart with gladness and joy. I see God opening a major door for you as well. Won't say yourself is trying to come. I want you to be blessed, and I want you to experience good things in your life. As your pastor, I don't like it when things are not working well for you. But my greatest desire for you, my friend, is that you be pleasing to the Lord. And one of the ways you can please him is to make sure that that mandate that he has placed on you is carried out and is fulfilled. And it's a mandate to reproduce. To reproduce. Can I tell you something tonight? It is actually an abnormality when a Christian or a believer is not reproducing. It's a serious problem. It's abnormal. Because the normal arrangement is that every living thing must reproduce. That's the normal order of things. So when you have a bunch of Christians and you have churches that are not multiplying and reproducing, it is an abnormality. If you are a believer and you've walked with the Lord 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and no one has come to Christ through you, something is grievously wrong. And it's an abnormality, and you are abnormal. That's what it means. So everyone under the sound of my voice should start thinking about himself and herself. Start asking yourself there, in Tahamenu, who has come to Christ through me? Is there anybody that I can point to and say that through me, this person got saved, this person got born again, this person became a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Is there anybody that you can point to and say that I have followed this person up, I have helped to disciple this person? Is there anything like that? Anybody listening to me who cannot point to any person like what I've described is actually very deficient, and there's a serious problem with you. You feel normal, but you're abnormal. You feel okay, but everything is not well with you, because you are defying God's order and God's arrangement to reproduce. A lot of Christians think that they were just saved to attend church, come and worship, dance during praise and worship, enjoy choir ministration, sing in the choir, usher people, handle media things. So the mind of a lot of people is that, so far as I'm doing these things, I am fulfilling my ministry. In a certain sense, you are. But in another sense, you are not. Because the primary reason for your salvation is to produce other disciples. If you do everything else, but you don't do the main thing expected of you, you have failed. If I employ you to work for me, and I give you an instruction that every day clean the house, tidy up the rooms, make sure that everything is clean. That's the reason why I employed you. And then when I come home, I find out that you have prepared banku and okra stew. Preparing banku and okra stew is not a bad thing. We may even eat it, but it doesn't mean that we are happy with you. And you didn't, because you didn't do what you were signed on to do. And a lot of us think that we can get away with the things that we do. It's almost like we think that God is like a corrupt policeman that you can just bribe with 5 CDs or 10 CDs or 20 CDs. Okay. You can't do that, though. We can't do that. So instead of focusing on the main thing and the main reason for which he saved us, which is to save others and disciple them and to reproduce other Christians, we get ourselves busy doing other things which we must do, but not to the neglect of the main thing, which is the reason why he saved us, to reproduce and to multiply. So that's the first thing I want to draw your attention to. That from the very beginning, God designed that every living thing should reproduce. The second thing I want to draw your attention to under the call to reproduce is that Jesus himself set an example of reproduction for us. Jesus himself set an example of reproduction for us. Jesus himself set an example of reproduction for us. Let's look at the life of Jesus and what he did. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 summarizes the life of Jesus. It says how God anointed, New King James Version, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. This is the summary of the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he sings songs. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. The mighty healer, he cleansed the lepers. When the crippled saw him, they started walking. Everywhere he went, my Lord was doing good. That's true. And if you look at Mark chapter 1 verse 32 to 39, we can see some of the things that Jesus did. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. This is what Jesus did. He preached. He healed. He delivered people. He even provided food for the multitudes. He showed love and compassion, raised the dead, and did so many good things. But let me show you Mark chapter 3, verse 13 to 19. And there you see something else very important, very crucial that Jesus did. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. And they came to him. Give me the King James Version rather. And he ordained 12 that they should do what? Be with him. They should be with him. And that he might send them forth to preach. Go back to the New King James Version. And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. 16. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, next. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the names Boanerges, that is sons of thunder. But they were very wild guys, very impulsive. You know? Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, 19, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him, and they went into a house. Now, hear this. Jesus went about doing a lot of good. And it is proven by the scriptures that we read. He did a lot of healing, a lot of delivering. He brought a lot of hope to people. He raised the dead. He fed the multitudes. He did a lot of good things. But you see, one of the major things that he did, which explains why Christianity reached you and I, is that he reproduced himself in his disciples. If he hadn't done that, his ministry would have ended with him. So, beyond all the great things that he did, he multiplied himself and reproduced himself in initially 12 disciples. He could have done ministry alone. He alone could have healed the sick, cast out demons, preach, raise the dead, all by himself. But notice that he chose 12 ordinary men and multiplied himself in them, reproduced himself in them. They were ordinary fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary people. Why did he do that? Because he knew that if you do ministry alone, it ends with you. If you do ministry, if you reproduce and you bring others on board, it continues after you. The reason why the Christian faith has spread across the world is because of the principle of reproduction. So Jesus himself, even though he was the Son of God, fulfilled that divine mandate to reproduce. And think about it. At the time when Jesus was ascending to heaven, there were just 120 disciples. But from them, the good news and the gospel spread to all sorts of places. How did it happen? They were just 120. But how did the gospel spread across the world that it even came to us, the dark continent? It was because of reproduction. And it is because Jesus reproduced himself. So the call to reproduce was endorsed by Jesus himself. In that he did not just do good, heal the sick, raise the dead, and what have you. He reproduced and multiplied himself in his disciples. The reason why you are saved, my friend, is because some missionary left his country and came to our country. Some missionaries did that. Came to preach Christ. And it gave rise to other believers, and it went on and on and on until it got to your turn. You are saved because some pastor preached and you got saved. He reproduced you. Or you had some teaching, or some believer shared something with you. You got convicted and you gave your life to Christ. That person reproduced. So now it comes to us. It comes to you and I. And the question is, what are we producing, or what are we reproducing? Because we have benefited from the work that others have done to produce us. Who is benefiting from what you and I are doing to produce them? And the last thing I want to share with you tonight, the call to reproduce, is that we must do all that we can to resist the tragedy of spiritual barrenness. We must do all that we can to resist the tragedy of spiritual barrenness. We must do all that we can to resist the tragedy of spiritual barrenness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now notice verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you know Jesus and you've received him as Lord and Savior, you are expected to be fruitful and not to be barren. Your knowledge of Jesus should give rise to reproduction, to multiplication, and to fruit bearing. And Peter here is explaining that there are some things that you must add to your faith with all diligence to ensure that you do not remain barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest tragedies in the body of Christ today is that most people who fill our churches are spiritually barren. Yet the Bible says in John 15 verse 8, it says, by this my Father is glorified. What brings glory to God is that you bear much fruit. In other words, you reproduce. And he said, so you will be my disciples. Hallelujah. That's one of the greatest tragedies, the tragedy of spiritual barrenness. You know, you've heard me perhaps talk about the fact that I think something similar happened to Pastor Joe and his wife, that we were married for many years. before we had children. I can tell you that it's a very difficult thing. It's a very difficult experience. You come under a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. You will hear a lot of stupid comments. And people will make you feel inadequate, that there's something wrong with you. And I always say that learn to be sensitive when you are dealing with people who are believing God for children and don't yet have them. And especially if you have them and you are dealing and relating with those who don't, be sensitive. And don't flaunt what you have in their faces. Because lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. I know what it feels like. And people describe it as barrenness, because barrenness is like you don't have any fruit. But that's physical barrenness. But ladies and gentlemen, there's something wilder than that, especially for a believer and a child of God, which is that you are spiritually barren. Meaning that after you were saved, you haven't affected anybody's life. You've not been able to reproduce after yourself. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, universal, is just filled with millions of spiritually barren Christians. And they don't feel worried or disturbed about it. It doesn't feel like a big deal. So the question you must ask yourself is that, will there be anybody in heaven because of you? Will there be anybody like that? When we get there, or on judgment day, when we stand before God, are we going to have people come to us and begin to thank us profusely? Because it was through us that they either got saved or they got discipled. Are we going to have that? I have shared this message with us to let us understand that we need to respond to the call to reproduce and not resist it and not treat it lightly and not just dismiss it. When we talk about invite family and friends, invite work colleagues in extraordinary outreach efforts and all these different things, programs that we design. My earnest desire and wish is that every single member of this commission, of this flock, will take it seriously and put in his or her maximum best. Because Christ is expecting us to reproduce for him. That's what he's expecting of us. And there's a call to reproduce. And that call must be answered. That call must be honored. Otherwise, the church will die. What keeps the church alive and persevering and marching on is the commitment to reproduce and to multiply. So tonight, I've shared this message with you, reproducing for Christ, the call to reproduce. And the first thing that I've said to you is that reproduction is God's design for every living thing. And number two, that Jesus Christ himself set an example of reproduction for us. And the third thing I've shared with you is that we must do all that we can to avoid the tragedy of spiritual barrenness. I say, let's fight it. Let's fight it with every fiber of our being. Let's tell ourselves that one thing that I'm trusting God that I will not be by the grace of God is a spiritually barren Christian. That I will stand before Jesus Christ and he will look at me with disapproving eyes and with sadness and sorrow. Because after he paid such an enormous price to save me, I did not do much to fulfill that command to reproduce that he gave, called the Great Commission. I just pray that the Spirit of God will continue to work on our hearts and that he will touch each and every one of us and that we would determine that we will do everything that we can not to stay barren, but that we will reproduce and glorify the Father, because it is when we bear much fruit that the Father is glorified. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, I want to pray and thank you for tonight and thank you for this word that we've heard. And I want to pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Let something be stirred up in us, a new fire, a new drive, a new passion, compassion for the lost out there. We seem to be very happy and satisfied with our lives. And we're just focusing on ourselves, on self, and what we are doing. We are pursuing the things that make us happy. But we are ignoring and neglecting the command and the instruction that you've given to us. So day in and day out, we encounter people who don't know you, but there's no drive and effort on our part to tell them about Jesus and share the good news with them. There's so much that is wrong with us. And Father, I pray that you heal us of spiritual barrenness. Bring us to that place in our lives that constantly, all the time, we are looking for an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus and to help to save and disciple somebody. Thank you for everyone who has received the word of God tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Say amen again. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.